SSPU.
See, I'm very busy. I don't have time to say Silver Sun Pickups on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. It is 921. By the way, speaking of Silver Sun Pickups, those guys are awesome, and we love them, and they were in on the show yesterday performing that song and their new song live. We have those available at kevinandbean.com in the sounds page if you want to check that out. Did we shoot a video when they were here yesterday, too?
Yes, we did.
We did. So you should definitely check that out at kevinandbean.com. Those guys are tremendous. And, of course, you can see them tonight. Still some seats available to see them and a whole bunch of other bands at the Gibson Amphitheater. Speaking of stuff available for download, I have to give the King of Mexico props. He is constantly updating the website. We now also have Miss Cleo's European dance remix of her hit Clocks. This is the one we're talking about.
A clock. With the clock and it's those and with the clock and it's and clock similar to clock with the clock.
That's killing it in Reykjavik. Apparently it's the number one track across all of Iceland right now. But yeah, you can pick up the Clocks remix. That is now available for free for download on the Kevin and Bean download rodeo page of kevinandbean.com.
That's remix.
And I guess, Psycho Mike, I did not approve, but apparently your LMFO remake, your parody version of Shots, is also very popular. Here's the original that inspired you.
Yeah! When I walk in the club, all eyes on me. Yeah. I'm with the Party Rock crew, all drinks are free. We like Ciroc, we love Patron.
That,
everybody is on. Shots.
Yeah, that's the worst kind of music there is in the world. And those guys in LMFO have got the biggest scam in the world. They're casting for bikini girls to join them on tour right now.
Oh, you're kidding.
Wow. They got a tour kicking off in Reno this weekend. Yeah, and they're casting for bikini girls. That's how they roll.
They are pure poo when it comes to music. But they're geniuses in that they'll always have a gig playing Cabo or Spring Break in Daytona Beach, because all their songs are just about getting laid and getting drunk.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So they know their audience, that's for sure. Yes. And that song has been so huge. I mean, it's one of the biggest hits of the summer and the fall. It was just on the hills this last week. I mean, you can't get away with stupid shots. And I thought, first of all, the first like 2,000 times I heard that song, I thought, this song couldn't be any dumber. And then you came in last week and proved me wrong because there is a way to take shots and make it even dumber.
What?
Psycho Mike, you've turned it into farts.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I made it better and more highbrow.
You made it more Mike. I know that.
Yeah. Why does every song you do have to involve stuff coming out of your ass?
Because that's where his focus is.
Well, and that's where the focus of the world is, okay?
What? Your ass?
We debuted this. That the universal language of comedy is farts.
We debuted this last week on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I had hoped that it would be, on and gone and on to the next one. But apparently there has been some pretty positive reaction. Now, unfortunately, this one is not available on the download rodeo because, well, we don't own the music. We're not allowed to put stuff up that's copyrighted, so we can't make it available for download. You can stream it, though, from kevinandbean.com. And what kind of reaction are you getting from the kids on farts?
Todd Hansen says, good thing I pulled over when I heard your parody song. I had coffee coming out of my nose, I would have crashed. What about, let's see, Jesus Navarro says, farts, I need more farts, I need it as my ringtone. It's the most effing funny thing I've ever heard. Come on, take it over the world, buddy.
Anyone who's so young that they like that song can't be old enough to drive and can't be old enough to write to you. That's
sadly,
what's confusing to me.
Not true.
You should embrace adolescence, buddy, okay? Quit taking things too seriously.
All right, if you missed it, in the great tradition of LMFAO, and they're right up there on the Mount Rushmore of rock, Psycho Mike has figured out a way to take shots and turn it into farts. Won't you please enjoy?
Yeah! If your stomach's playing tricks on you, you got that indigestion. Don't reach for no Pepto-Bismol. Grab another burrito. Let your ass sag. Embrace it. Grab your pimp cup. Spread your cheeks. Yeah! When my stomach's upset, you best plug your nose. My ass packs a punch of lethal blows. I cut the cheese, I drop them bombs. I'm making chemical warheads like Saddam. Farts, 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 everybody! Farts, 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 everybody! I clear a room, give me a chance. I burned a hole right through my underpants. So eat some beans, you can join in. Just grab your cheeks, cut the the cheese, break some wind, yeah! Everybody! If you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, then let it out your ass. If you got lots of gas, let it the f*** about your ass.
Alright, we hear it. We get it. We get it. It's a long fart. We get it. Yeah, I can hear it. Now streaming at KevinAndBean.com, and now you know why the Kevin and Bean Show is a show that everyone can agree on at work. You are... Oh, thank you, Ozzy. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It haunts me. All this crazy stuff. Every day of my life has been an event. I took lethal combinations of booze and drugs for 30 effing years. I survived a direct hit by a plane, suicidal overdoses, STDs. I've been accused of attempted murder. Then I almost died while riding over a bump on a quad bike at effing 2 miles an hour. People ask me how come I'm still alive. I don't know what to say. But he is making a great effort to explain it in his new book called I Am Ozzy, in stores now. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the all-time favorite guests of the Kevin and Bean Show, please welcome back our friend Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy, how are you? How are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're very busy as a best-selling author. The book is great. I can't believe that you remembered enough stuff to put in a book.
Neither can I.
You do start out at the beginning by saying that your mind is jelly and you pretty much have to rely on other people's memories for a lot of it.
Well, you know, it's going to be bound to be other people that read the book who were there at these occasions. It's only my recollection of whatever I can recollect. But it was fun to do, actually. It was a lot of fun. I kind of shied away from it for such a long time. And my wife said, you know, the publisher keeps on the phone. Because my wife had a book. My kids had a book.
Right.
And I said, when are we going to get the man in for, you know, to do a book? And so they kept going on and on. And I thought, last year was like a down year for me. In other words, I wasn't touring so much.
Right.
And it was time was right, you know. I mean, I just want people to have a humorous side. It's not all serious about how I dodge bullets and all this stuff.
Well, there is a lot of detail about, like, when you were a kid, you went to jail for robbery, but it was kind of lame. Like, those kind of stories kill me because, you know, you don't think of somebody like you as a kid and what kind of trouble you were getting into.
I mean, I'm sure there's kids doing exactly the same
of as course.
I did when I was younger. I mean, but that was the only way to go, you know. I mean, life had not much future for a person like me in the back streets of Birmingham. And then when the Beatles happened, it saved me, you know. Music saved my life.
Music and Sharon are the twin...
absolutely.
The twin events in your life that enabled you to be alive and talking to us today. But Kevin is right. It's so fascinating that we don't think about what Ozzy Osbourne was like at age 5 or age 10 or age 15. And there were millions of kids living in the exact same circumstances. But somehow you managed to get out and turn yourself into something. And, I mean, that's one thing you can always be proud of.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I never go, oh, look, I wonder where I could have been. You know, people, I get asked that question all the time. If it wasn't for the music, where do you think you'd be? And it's an impossible question for me to answer because I did find music and it kind of found me, you know. And it took me off on a fantasy that I'm still going on now, you know. I mean,
I think it was funny how you started out in music, you didn't know where to go, and then you decided, you know what, let's make it scary. Let's make scary music.
We used to rehearse across the road from a movie theater, and Tony said one day, "Isn't it strange how people like to go to movies, see the movies, and get scared?" Well, I mean, I started writing scary music, and it kind of came naturally, you know. I mean, Charlie Homme, he's one of the founder fathers of heavy riffs. There's nobody to touch him as far as riffs go.
Your band, Black Sabbath, you know, is credited with inventing heavy metal. Now, if that's an overstatement, it's not much of one, because you guys were certainly there at the beginning, and there were 1,000 bands that came after you who wanted to do exactly what you do. I mean, you know that your place in rock history is assured thanks to that.
Well, it's not just me. I mean, I didn't do it on my own. I was just a singer for them. You know, I mean, Tony Iommi's the actual riff man. But Black Sabbath was my escape route from you know, drudgery. You know,
right. I didn't have any idea how bad it was and how much you could consume in one day for years and years and years of your life. It's crazy that you're still alive.
I mean, I was just lucky. I mean, I overdose it all the time, you know. I mean, I'm not proud of it. I mean, it's a fact, you know. I mean, that's what you do anyway. You get loaded, you know, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, but most people don't end up in so many comas like you did.
Yeah. I mean, that was dirty, I mean,
mean, every time that happened, you were this close to death.
I know.
Oh, well.
I mean, in the real world, it happens all the time. People go out, get loaded, and, you know. So, especially from on medication from the doctor, you know.
Yeah, you've put in a full life of drugs, though, honestly.
Yeah.
You've done your share.
Do you ever miss it, Ozzy? Do you ever, I mean, I know that you're in recovery and every day is one day at a time, but do you ever really miss those days of,
not
of getting
really.
blotted?
I mean, but if I don't, I know exactly what to do, you know? Like plenty of practice. We used to do loads of that stuff, you know?
Oh, there was a chapter where you were talking about...
When we discovered cocaine, it was like the Holy Grail, as we thought. But it ended up being... Highway to hell, you know.
Yeah, and during in the book you talk about, you don't even know where all the cocaine was coming. There was just people bringing in boxes of it.
Yeah.
good times. Are you happy with where your career is now? Are you doing exactly what you want to do? Because, and the reason I ask that is because I saw in the book how unhappy you were with how popular you became after the MTV show hit big, and it sounded like that was too much fame.
People would stop me, and they didn't have a clue that I was into rock and roll. Rock and roll was my first love. To be honest with you, I don't really like doing TV much.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
What do you want to do in the future, Ozzy? What would you like to see the next chapter of Ozzy Osbourne be?
You know, my music is my main thing. I mean, now this summer I'm putting a new album. I'm nearly finished a new album. I haven't got a title yet. I was going to call it Soul Sucker, but my webpage went insane going, you can't call your album Soul Sucker. I'm not going to walk around in a concert with a T-shirt saying Soul Sucker. I'm doing the Ozfest starting in July. I don't know. I'm going to be out there for a long while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're certainly happy about that. And, of course, you've been very good to the Kevin and Bean Show on our station over the years, Ozzy. I mean, you are, like I said when I brought you on, one of our all-time favorite guests. We admire you so much. And you and your wife are just great people, and we wish nothing but the best for you, and I'm so happy that this book came out and is getting such wonderful reviews. You should be very, very proud, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, Ozzy, thanks very much for being on the show. We love it.
Thank you. God bless.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. We'll talk to actor Michael Cera about his youth in revolt. Plays a bad guy for the first time in this movie, you guys, because he is a badass, Michael Cera. Let's face it. Right?
Well, you think him, yeah. You think that slasher movie.
That's like, why isn't he Thor? That's the problem I have with Hollywood, is people don't think like that. He had to be the Thor in the movie. So anyway, we'll talk to Michael Cera coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, though, we need to swing open the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number from wherever you are listening. There is no prize involved, but pick up the phone and give us a call because we need your help. It's time for another Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey. It only takes 5 people statistically to find out something that that represents the entire population of the United States. Do you guys know that?
Well, on our show, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that's called the Arbitron method.
as a matter of fact, I think you're right. So we don't want to tell you what the topic is. We are just looking for random people who are listening to the program right now who can give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. And then once the lines are all lit up, which appears they are, then we can proceed with the topic, and then we'll go to you for your vote.
LaQuisha a little bit later on today, talking about Jersey Shore as well. Very excited about that.
All right, Ralph.
Two on this week, by the way. Two Jersey Shores. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
One last night, another one Thursday. They are
big
just
show.
They are just jamming Jersey Shore down our throats.
They are.
Oh.
Ralph, you want to explain? I had the opportunity to explain it yesterday, but why don't you give it a try for the listeners who are with us right now about what happened and what we're going to be asking them to weigh in on.
Over the holidays, I received a package from Bean that contained his Christmas gift to me, and it was an extravagant gift. It was the entire box set of the newly remastered British versions of every Beatles album ever made. They've just remastered them all digitally and put them on CD.
Which you seemed excited about at the time, and I can see why.
I'm a big Beatles fan, okay. Absolutely, yeah. And so it was really an extravagant gift, and I really appreciated it. But my wife had given me the box set for Christmas.
Okay.
And it was a different set, but it contained the same CDs. But this one had even more. Had a book and all the artwork from all the LPs and that kind of stuff. So when I got the gift, I said, wow, this is an amazing gift. Who can I pass this on to? And all my friends who were other Beatles fans had already had. I was like the last guy in my group of friends to get the Beatles box set. And so I thought, you know, what can I do with this? I don't want to not use it. It's such an expensive, extravagant gift. And I don't want to, like, sell it or eBay it or something. That seems kind of crass. So I said, I'm going to send it back to Bean and with my thanks and say, listen, I appreciate the gift, but I really can't use it, and I don't want to see it go to waste. Maybe you can get your money back for this so you're not wasting it.
Take it back. Get his money back then.
So I shipped the gift back to Bean.
Okay.
And apparently that was an affront. I didn't realize at the time, but it was a faux pas. For me to have done that.
Now, let me jump in because...
Or an FU is being called it yesterday.
Well, it was clearly an FU. I think we can all agree it's a giant FU. It's a giant I hate you. But here's the thing that even surprised Kevin when he heard about it at the very end of yesterday's show is he's never heard it, nor have I, of anyone ever returning a Christmas gift. Because as good as your intentions may have been, it came as a big surprise because usually people get a gift, if it's a duplicate, something they already have, they just kind of sit on it and say thanks. That you took the unusual step of sending it back, and I think that's what kind of surprised everybody.
I think only because it's a really extravagant, expensive gift. If it had been just a CD or a DVD that I already had owned,
could have tossed it,
or a sweater or something. Yeah, I would have given it to Goodwill or something. I would have found a way to burn it.
Right.
But this was like, I was like, wow, this is a big deal, and I didn't want to just let it go to waste, I guess.
Here's where I come from. I don't have that conversation in my head where I say, should I send it back or not? It would have never, ever occurred to me in a billion years that is one of the options that you could do.
No, I don't think I would have thought of that either.
Send it back.
Yeah.
But having heard you say that, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
It does. I don't think it's a terrible thing to do at all.
Probably
depends on whether he can return it or not.
Did
but
you
I guess
write,
he could re-gift it.
Did you write
also
in the letter or the
maybe,
card?
Yeah, I think if, at the very least, maybe Bean knew someone else that he knew that would appreciate the box set. I really had no one else to pass it on to, or else I would have done that. That would have been my first route.
That's the sign of a crappy gift, by the way. When you can't find anyone to take it off your hands for free.
That everyone who wanted it got it, you know, immediately when it came out available on the market. They already went out and got it, yeah.
All right. We've got five callers on the line. We'll take them from line number one to line number five. There's no bias on any part here. And by the way, it's not like I'm coming down on Ralph for this. It just surprised me that he did it, and I just wondered how people would react to hearing about it. At 1-800-520-1067. First five calls, it's Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Yes, that helps.
That's our big brand new production for 2010.
That helps a lot, doesn't it?
Show sounds better than ever.
All right,
Mike, what say you? A reasonable response to a gift dilemma or Ralph clearly hates the baby Jesus? Which is it?
I think Ralph clearly hates the baby Jesus.
Wait, let me back up. He doesn't hate the baby Jesus, he hates Ralph. I mean, he hates Bean.
Yeah,
he does hate Ralph. I would never do that, especially with, you know, it seems like this year so many few people got gifts. I was just been happy I got something, you know?
Right.
I would never do that.
I didn't not take this gift and with the spirit it was intended. I did appreciate the gift, but I didn't want to see it go to waste.
I see where you're going with that, but, I mean, could you just exchange it, I guess, and Bean would have never even knew.
Hey, maybe
that.
You could have taken it to a store and said, I don't have the receipt, but a store that clearly sells them. I don't know.
Maybe that was an option.
Has a barcode on it. All right, so one no.
All right.
One no. Right. Thank you very much. Let's move along to line three. For some reason, two is out today. We're taking them in order. It's Michelle calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Michelle. What do you think? Good move, bad move on Ralph's part?
I think it was a good move, but I think maybe maybe we should have called first instead of just sending it back automatically and seeing if Dean even had an interest in having it back.
Should have called. Well, you have to know this. Bean doesn't talk on the phone.
That wasn't an option.
Ralph could have called him 7,000 times, and Bean would not have called him back. So,
in order to call someone, they have to pick up the phone on the other end.
So that not being an option. Now, what do you think, Michelle? Is it still?
I mean, Ralph did the best he could to kind of explain it.
You say okay. You say okay. Move right.
Have any malintent in doing it.
All right.
Okay.
One-one.
Yep.
One-to-one. Let's go to Julio, line four. Hi, Julio. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What do you think?
Hearing it from both sides,
yeah.
I still kind of think it was a bad idea.
It was a bad idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Why?
To spend that much and to put that much thought into something, like, I don't know, you could have just exchanged it and let them believe, like, yeah, you know, I gave him a good present.
Me a good present. I told him that. I don't think I offended Bean at all in terms of his gift-giving skills.
No.
I mean, you sent it back. That's kind of just like a kick in the nuts.
By the way,
well, first of all, in order to hurt someone's feelings, don't they have to have them too?
It's a little bit of I don't
want to be anybody else.
You mean
it's a little bit of I don't want anything in my home that you've had anything to do with. Isn't that what you're saying, Julio?
Yeah.
You've got cooties.
So that's another no.
That's right? No. Okay.
So okay.
Who knows?
All right. So 2-1. Yep. Let's see what Andrew. We may not even have to get to caller 5, depending on what Andrew has to say. But let's give him his chance. Andrew, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What do you think?
You're a douche.
Oh! How's Bean on the line and on the show at the same time?
I love that.
So I ran into the other room and called in.
That goes into the no category as well, then, huh?
That is just total douche move, Ralph.
Douche move. Wow. Even I'm surprised to hear you come down so strongly on it.
A little harsh.
Any gift that anybody gives you, it could be the absolute worst gift in the world, and the only thing you're supposed to say is thank you and receive it, smile on your face.
All right.
Whether you have one copy, two copies, three copies, it's always a thank you, because next year, when I'm getting you a gift, I'm giving you the finger.
Wow.
I love that.
And we'll leave it there.
Trust me, I'll return that to you too, sir.
So scientific survey says?
I should not have returned the gift.
No, you're an asshole.
That's what it said.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Our friend Psycho Mike is in the studio, and we worry about Mike. Mike troubles us. Mike's going to be the guy when he does finally snap and kill a bunch of people, they're going to come to us, and we're not going to be able to say we never saw it coming. He was so quiet and unassuming and never mentioned his love for serial killers because he loves serial killers.
Right. We're going to say we were surprised it took this long.
In fact, just honest. On Oprah yesterday, the first time I ever watched Oprah, it was John Wayne Gacy's sister, who was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that too. That was pretty cool.
It was amazing.
What's happening here?
And the son of Jim Jones from Ghana was also in there.
Right. Really?
All right, Psycho Mike, how many times have you seen the movie, and how many times have you read the book, American Psycho?
I've read the book easily 15 times cover to cover, and I've watched the movie, honestly, no exaggeration, well over 200 times.
Ugh. Now, for people who haven't heard of American Psycho, can you summarize what it's about?
Yeah, I mean, it was an okay book, a little self-indulgent, but Mary Harron took this and made it into a really condensed, great movie about a guy in the 80s who was obsessive about his appearance and his wealth and finance and his status in society, so much so that he lost sight of everything else as it related to his actual human interaction, to the point where he started murdering people.
Killing people, yeah.
His ego was so fragile that if you even had a better business card, say, than he did, he would kill you.
And he didn't, you say he lost his humanity. You're so right. In the movie, he kills as easily as he buys a sandwich. I mean, it means nothing to him. It's just something else that he does with his day. There's never any hint of remorse. And it's extremely violent, but it's also, at least the movie, extremely funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it really tells you something about a guy's psyche who's seen it as many times as Mike.
Yeah. Dark and twisted.
It is the world's darkest comedy.
It is dark. Yeah. It's twisted. I saw it twice, and I still remember most of it. And that's for me. I forget everything.
It's
a memorable movie.
the movie starred Christian Bale, who obviously is a great actor, and it's a phenomenal performance. Reese Witherspoon is in it as his fiancée. Jared Leto is one of his victims. I mean, it's got a pretty good cast, and it's a pretty good movie. But the reason we bring it up today, years after the film, is that now they're turning it into a Broadway musical. I guess they, you know, they saw Sweeney Todd and some of these others that have been turned into musicals that have been successful, and they said, hey, it's dark, but there's a way to write this where it'll also be entertaining for theater goes, and it's coming to Broadway this year.
That seems unlikely.
It seems crazy, but now that I think about it, you know, when you guys brought this up last week when we heard about this story, it would make for a great play because it's so fantastic. I mean, it's so out there and extreme and surreal, the things that he does and
right.
his behavior, that it might make for a great, you know, spectacle on stage.
Well, Sweeney Todd has certainly been a very popular musical.
Yeah,
very
on
popular.
Stage.
And that's about a guy who kills and eats people,
yeah.
right?
All right. Well, okay.
So we asked around a little bit, and we were able to get our hands on some preview clips of the Broadway musical. And I have not heard this yet, but I understand that this is a little bit of a taste of what American Psycho is going to be like on stage.
I must exfoliate my skin so dry and use a nighttime cream. My honey almond body wash is almost used up. I'll have to stop by Saks on my way home from work.
It's not very,
Seems boring.
Seems a little boring to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's just him talking about his appearance, I guess.
That encapsulates much of the story, does it?
Well, you have to introduce the characters, though.
Okay, maybe that's where we are in the play.
Okay. So he cares too much about his appearance.
Right, I guess
right.
so.
Okay, all right, here's the next one.
Oh, my goodness, I'm so handsome, muscular, and lean. And did I mention rich, you stupid bitch? You're the dumbest bitch I've ever seen.
Sounds like he's turning on us a little bit there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. That clip was a little better.
You think so?
Yeah,
I think so.
And here's the last one that we have.
Five hookers' carcasses rotting inside Hell's Kitchen. Within a bathtub that I filled with lye.
Wow.
Five hookers' carcasses rotting inside Hell's Kitchen. I killed them to make me feel better inside. With chainsaws and hammers and ice picks, I killed them. Those dirty bitches, they deserve to die.
Wow. I'm in.
That's a catchy
me too.
Tune.
That seems,
I like it. It seems a little dark for Broadway, but okay.
When I talk about it, this is a call to all my kids. You know you make me break. Don't wanna be a monkey rare. Make my way back home when I learn to fly. There goes my hero. Skin and bone.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
So this is one of the last times we'll ever be able to call it the Foobador. That's basically what you're telling me.
We've been trying for a long time to get a breakfast with this next band. Very excited to introduce the Foo Fighters!
Hey, you actually made it!
Thank you very much. Good morning. Is everybody awake? Everybody ready? I figured we kind of ease into it a little bit.
Lately, I've been measuring, seems my time is growing thin. wind me up and watch me spin. Watch me spin. Watch me spin. Skin and bones. Skin and bones. Skin and bones, don't you know? Skin and bones. Skin and bones. Skin and bones, don't you know? I'm just skin and bones.
Foo Fighters, live on K-Rock.
Yeah. the best in them beat it out, while the rest in them beat around. Truth or consequence, say it aloud. Use that evidence, race it around.
Concert.
Yes, we are.
How did that happen for 8 o'clock in the morning? We'll talk to the band, including your questions from the Troubadour, when we return to the world-famous K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
All right, I think we're back. I think we're on the air. We just had a great question and answer session with the band.
Oh, couldn't have gone any smoother.
Very funny, very insightful.
People that were here heard it.
Oh, they just loved it.
And that's what matters. We're at the Troubadour. It's Breakfast with Foo Fighters. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for America's number one rock and roll band, Foo Fighters!
Keep you in the dark, and so it all begins. Yeah. peace that you have to face. Here in your stable, I'm what's left, I'm what's right, I'm the enemy. I'm the hand that took you down, bring you to your knees. So who are you? Dark, you know they all pretend. What if I say I'm not like the others? What if I say I'm not just another one? You're the play, you're the pretender. What if I say I would never surrender? What if I say I'm not like the others? What if I say I'm not just another one? You're the play, you're the pretender. What if I say I'm
Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
Thank you.
Live from the Troubadour.
The song's called Long Road to Ruin. We now don't make a sound. Say, have you heard the news today? One flag was taken down. To raise another in its place. There, a stubborn heart remains unshaped. No home, no life, no love. No strangers singing in your bell. The baby, the season. Colors changing by these skies. Oh God, I seal my fate. No!
Breakfast with Foo Fighters. We're going to take a quick break here at the Troubadour. When we come back, your questions next. That's why it's Breakfast with Foo Fighters after this on K-Rock.
I'd like you to meet Breakfast.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
The most important meal.
The world famous K-Rock.
All right, I believe we're back. I believe we're on the air. I believe we can be heard by the listeners.
What?
People can hear us now? That's shocking. Wow. You know, I was thinking, David, as I was listening to The Long Road to Ruin right before the break there, that I love the video, and I love your kick-ass mustache in the video, but your band has a very liberal facial hair policy.
Facial hair?
Yeah, seems like you're big fans, you're keeping it alive.
Well, you know, I think it's important for everybody to have an image, first
okay.
of all.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about beards is that they hide your face, and I think that the more we hide our face, the more records we sell.
That works to your advantage.
I see. So beards equal money to me.
Okay.
And so I encourage everyone to have a beard.
All right. We've
we'll make more money that way.
Including Petra?
No. That's against the rules.
We've learned a little something here today. All right. Producer Lightning, I believe, is in the crowd somewhere. Lightning, where are you, my man?
I am right over here at the spotlight.
All right. Now, before we hear the first question, Dave, as you know, the Breakfast with Foo Fighters is mostly Foo Fighters fans, hardcore Foo Fighters fans. And I'm telling you, the begging and the pleading we've endured for the last 2 weeks for people to be here has been unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean,
sorry about that.
You have cultivated some hardcore fans, is what I'm telling you.
And well, that's great. I mean, there's a lot of familiar faces. Whenever we play gigs, you can usually see the people that you've seen before.
Right.
And it's been a long time. Like, a lot of the thing now is that people that come to shows, some have been coming for 10 or 12 years, and then other kids are just coming in the last, you know, couple of years.
Brand new.
So you've got mustaches.
Yes.
And then you've got kids with their first mustache.
Right.
Let's make you proud.
The pre-shave.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, the soft little.
So anyway, maybe you'll recognize some of the people stepping up to the microphone here today, but Producer Lightning is out with our first question from the audience, Breakfast with Foo Fighters on K-Rock.
Well, you know what? I've got Erica. Not only does she have the Zippo hoodie right here with the Foo Fighters on it, but also look at the back of her neck. Turn around, Erica.
Oh, you didn't do that, did you?
You're
crazy,
yeah.
Girl. Look at that.
The double F right
that
there on the back
go
of
away,
the neck.
You know.
That sticks. No way.
But Dave, let me tell you the ripoff. Is she called us, she goes, guys, I got double F's. And we're like, yeah!
Woo!
Come on in! Then we found out it's a stupid...
Wasn't that a couple weeks ago, that contest?
Yeah, yeah, right.
No, I just checked it out online.
Then we found out it's a stupid tattoo, but anyway.
You also have a question for him, correct?
Huh?
I just wanted to know, Best of You really helped me get through a really hard time in my life. What inspired you to write that song, and how has it affected your life?
Well, I wrote that song after going out on the road with John Kerry for a while, and I don't want to get political, but that really inspired me because what I was doing is I was going in, I was going with his touring sort of motorcade where we'd go from one little town to the next, and he would make these presentations, these speeches, and I would stand up and play songs like My Hero and Times Like These, and nobody knew who I was. Like, it was all World War II vets. I swear, I'm serious. School teachers, and nobody gave a squat about who I was. But then I'd go up there and just talk about, you know, whatever, being an American and touring the world and what it is to be an American these days. And after doing that, it really inspired me to, it inspired me to write that song because I felt like, you know, there were all of these people that needed to be rescued from all the different situations and problems that they had in their lives. And a lot of them felt like they were being taken advantage of. And so I wrote that song out of that. And still to this day, I get choked up sometimes when I sing it just because it's, you know, it means a lot to me.
Way to pick a winner, too, by the way, Dave.
And that...
thanks, about, yeah.
In that campaign...
I think I'm going to endorse Huckabee this time just to make sure that, you know...
In that campaign, though, didn't...
Make sure you won't win.
Didn't President Bush use your song, Times Like These? Wasn't he starting
Apparently
to play that?
Apparently he was used... some, I don't know, whatever. That's how out of touch that dude is.
That's got to be weird.
He's a hot new rock man.
Cool. He doesn't have to get your okay though to use it on the on his commercials and stuff.
Ask the lawyer. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I went to over there to do it
right
on the other side was to actually do it where I felt like it made sense.
Is there anyone you like, anyone who you think really does represent a hope for change in this country, or are they all so entrenched in politics now that we're never going to get a statesman again?
I'm not the outwardly political dude. Mm-hmm. In my personal life, I do my thing and I'm active and I vote and do all of that. But I never really bring it into the band's business too much. And it was only then that we kind of dove into it because we were asked to, and we felt just as citizens that it was kind of our duty or obligation to try to do the right thing, you know?
Understood.
But I don't know yet. We'll see. There's a lot of people that want to make a huge change. I think most everyone does. Even mm-hmm. the Republicans seem like they need to – they want – things to change. Who wouldn't? You know what I mean?
Exactly. All right. Great question. Thank you very much for that. Lightning, who's next, please?
Heath out in the crowd right here. And also, Heath, show him your middle finger here. Another double F right
too?
Here.
Is
right
this a
there.
Convention? You crazy.
We got Heath. What's your question?
Don't follow me home.
First, thank you guys for making such amazing music for so many years. You inspired her and so many other people. So thank you for that.
Welcome.
But my question is
thanks,
for
Mike.
No, I just want to keep speaking of both of you, this question is for both of you. If you guys could play drums for any classic rock band in their heyday, any band, anywhere, anytime, what band would it be?
Right said Fred.
Hawkins.
ABBA.
Now, how about if I answer yours and you answer mine?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to answer for Dave, Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
Got to be.
And I'll answer for Taylor. It's kind of a tough, I got to say the Police.
Yeah.
Got to be, yeah.
Taylor's the Police guy.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Led Zeppelin, since the last time we talked to you, Dave, you went to the freaking Led Zeppelin concert.
I did. I went to go see him play.
Tell me it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. It was really weird because a couple of us went and we left. It was on a Monday, so we left Sunday afternoon. We got in Monday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning to London. Went to the hotel, took a nap for 3 hours. Woke up, took a shower, started drinking. Got the van down to the gig, drank. Hung out for a little bit. And then all of a sudden the lights went out and Led Zeppelin started playing.
Now, for folks who don't pay attention, this is a band that hasn't performed together but
since
a couple of times in 30 years. I mean, this was a big deal.
It was a huge
deal. And they're your favorite band, so.
And tattoos and the whole deal. It was at the O2 Arena in London, and that place holds 18,000 people, and I guess like 28 million people tried to get tickets.
Excellent.
So when we got in there, everybody that was in the gig, it was like they won the lottery, you know? So the vibe inside the venue was insane. Everyone was just like, we're going to see Led. They were so excited. And it was, I mean, I never got to see him play
back
in the day. So I've watched all the movies and the bootlegs and every album front to back. And so to actually see them there and be kind of drunk, it was surreal. It was bizarre. And they were amazing. And the set they played
nailed
for
it,
over
right?
2 hours. It's incredible.
Dave, he was in our studio just before that, and he said, I never do this, but I called up and I said, hey, you remember Nirvana?
Yeah.
I need some tickets. Remember that? You said, I never do that, but for that one, I did.
Well, you don't want to use the N-word too much.
No,
you
know I don't. All right, but let me ask you one more thing on that, Dave, because you're sitting there going, I could do that. I mean, did you wish it were you up on that stage playing drums on those songs?
It's just the same as Taylor. I'm sure when Taylor watches The Police, there's that part of you. When I was a kid, and I bet you're the same way, you'd go to see a band, and it would be your favorite band, and you had this weird, perverted fantasy that maybe something would happen to the drummer.
Sure.
And that the singer would come up and be like, hey, does anybody know every single one of our songs? And so there was that, but
it happened to The Who a couple times.
Yeah.
Keith Moon, like, they had to get a guy out of the audience.
So, I mean, yeah, but, you know, Jason Bonham is Jason Bonham.
He was great.
John Bonham, the drummer of Led Zeppelin, died. So Jason Bonham, his son, played. And he's amazing.
Yeah.
And he plays like his father. And beyond that, he's a great drummer. It was awesome.
It's cool.
It was funny because afterwards, I went upstairs to this after party. It was me and Chad from the Chili Peppers and Steve Gorman from the Black Crowes sitting around drinking like, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
It's cool that you guys can still be such big fans and are not just completely turned off to the music business. You know what I mean? Because there's a difference between the music and the music business.
Well, but it's all music.
Yeah.
You know? So great bands are great bands.
That's awesome.
When there's a musician that you really respect or look up to, it's hard not to get a little
little
nervous around them because they do the one thing that you love more than anything so well. So there's, I think, I don't know if Khaki King is here. I invited her down. She might be on her way. There's this guitar player named Khaki King who played on our album. We did this acoustic thing, just a duel between she and I. And she's phenomenal, man. She's like one of the greatest guitar players I've ever seen in my entire life. And because she's so amazing, I get kind of nervous when I'm around her. But she's that big, and she's sweet, and she's super nice. But
she thinks so little of you, she wouldn't even come down this morning.
That's probably what it is. Yeah, I won't even tell you how she texts me. She's like, you better start practicing, lest I steal you.
All right. That was a great question. We got more from the audience here at the Troubadour, but I think we got to take a break, right?
Take a quick break.
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, more from Foo Fighters on stage. It's Breakfast with the Foos on the world-famous K-Rock.
Breakfast.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
If you guys get pulled over and you hand the cop your license with Dave's signature all over it,
that's a problem.
Is that a problem?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Dave, what's the...
You just look like a jackass.
It's Breakfast with Foo Fighters on K-Rock. Dave, what's the smallest venue you ever played a rock show at?
The smallest?
Like the 930 Club in D.C. or something like that?
No, smaller.
Smaller than that?
There was this place... There was a place in, it was like Vermont or Connecticut. Maybe it was Connecticut. When Nevermind just came out and Nirvana was on tour, we played this place that held like 64 people. It was packed.
But you sold it out.
Sold it out.
That was great, man. It worked out just fine.
That's the important thing.
Is it more difficult to sing and play right when you can see people's expressions and stuff, or is it better?
Not really.
It seems like you can hide behind the spotlights and stuff if you want.
It's just all weird.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes it's easy.
You feel self-conscious of...
Well, yeah, dude. There's hundreds of people looking at me all the time. Walking down the street at McDonald's. Like someone's looking at
me. He does now? Yeah.
But at least they all are taking your picture all the time with their cell phones. At least you've got that.
And thank God for cell phones and cameras on them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because otherwise I wouldn't get to my gates at the airport. You know.
All right. Kevin and Bean Breakfast with Foo Fighters is finally happening. Dave was true to his word when he promised us last year that we would make this happen. And today is the day at the Foubadour. Lightning is in the crowd. Who's our next list?
Really? Don't ask, dude.
I'm afraid it's the Foubadour.
It's
been
ugly.
He's wearing a suit, but we got Vinny D, and he wanted to give Dave a present.
You're not going to strip, are you? You look like you're about to strip.
A male stripper.
Brings out a boombox.
Sure, is that a stripper?
Can we get a beat, Dave?
Are you a stripper?
Can we get a beat for a stripper?
You want a beat?
There you go.
Yeah!
Take it off!
Shake it!
Come on. It's radio, dude. No one's watching. All right, stop.
That's not very sexy.
Here, let's pass the present up here.
Pass the present up, all right. Oh, it's his birthday, okay.
I think that's worth opening.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks vaguely foreign to me, Light. I'm a little concerned.
Oh, look at that. It's a...
He said, tried to sound excited.
It's a harmonica.
Okay.
Okay.
Some gum. Okay. I do like gum.
He does like gum, yeah.
For that. And a harmonica holder. Which... Like, you remember when you were a kid and there were some kids that had headgear?
Oh, yeah.
And they were that kid? If I put this on and play my harmonica, I'll be that guy.
Yeah. You'll be on the short bus.
But I'll practice.
Are you saying he needs a harmonica in the band that the Foo Fighters would make it if it just had that extra instrument? Is that your point, sir?
Not exactly.
All right.
So this is what's missing.
Yep, that's it.
Album of the year.
That stands between
right
you,
here.
Between you and success,
you
right there, Dave.
You the whole next record, buddy. Folk music.
By the way, speaking of album of the year, Dave, we spoke with you and Taylor down the morning that the Grammys were announced. The Grammy nominations were announced, and you guys are up for a bunch of them again this year.
Five nominations.
And you're supposed to be performing, if the show happens on February 10th, y'all are supposed to be performing on stage.
Yes.
You're doing something different this year.
Have they announced that?
They have.
They have announced
that.
I don't want to blow it.
They have.
Oh, they have. Of course they have.
If the show happens because of the writer's strike.
Oh, right.
Man.
Show must go on.
Show must go on.
What are you doing for the Foo Fighter fans?
You know what we're going to do? We're doing this thing, and this is pretty cool. We're playing, but rather than play inside with everybody else, we're actually setting up our own stage outside so we can have thousands of you guys to come and see us play. And what we're going to do is we're going to play kind of a show before the show, and then when we go on... we're going to play The Pretender,
and we're having this. We're having kids from all over the country in school bands. We're building an orchestra out of all of these kids who play in school bands around the country. And John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin is going to...
You're not supposed to say that.
Oh.
We'll edit that out.
Oh, really? Well, the contest is on.
The contest where they send in a video of them playing.
Right.
And then they get to play with
John
you.
John Paul Jones
right.
is going to come watch. We don't
right.
know who's going to
Yeah,
arrange.
Or somebody. I don't know. Some
right.
dude.
Hard so, to
yeah,
straight,
we'll see
it?
What happens.
So there's a like
nothing's really confirmed yet. So, but that's just my idea. That's what I'm
Oops.
Hoping happens. So but there, I don't, you know,
there
my
could
own
be a,
fantasy
a,
world.
A ninth grade violinist out there who might end up on the Grammys playing with Foo Fighters. That's basically what you're telling me.
Well, yeah, I really don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. Now he's gun shy.
All right, that's fine.
Wow.
One more question. Lightning in the crowd. What do you got?
We've got Carrie. What's your question?
Hi, Dave. Happy birthday
hey,
to you,
thank you very
and
much.
Me. We got
is
the
your
same
birthday.
Birthday.
All
right.
Are you 27 too?
Yeah.
Again?
Going on 17, baby.
All right.
I'm curious as to what your second profession would be had it not been with the Foos.
Whore.
Would you have been a whore?
What else would you like to dive into?
Well, I'm a high school dropout. I didn't even get my GED, like Brittany. So, I don't know. I mean,
you didn't have a plan B, Dave?
I did. I was working in the furniture warehouse for a while.
It would probably be something like this. Would you like to be eating this in the dining room, or are you going to take this?
Nice.
Do you need a box for that? Something like that.
Dead-end manual labor is all you had in you if it weren't for this.
It's, you know, there's in Springfield, Virginia, there are opportunities.
Sure.
But not like Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's a little different. But it's fine. I mean, we were all perfectly happy before. So.
Sure. Do you write prose or anything? Or do you
no.
do poetry? Do you paint? Do you anything like that?
Not really.
Any other creative expression besides music? No?
No, it's just that. Guitar and me sitting around. I just went to Hawaii for like 10 days, and in those 10 days I wrote like 9 or 10 new ideas, just because sitting around in the beautiful paradise silence with a guitar,
that's all you
just
need.
What happens.
Yeah. All you
what
need.
About you, Taylor? Did you have a backup plan? Nah. Drums
hope,
or nothing.
Hope that my parents got rich.
Yeah. Just wait for him to win the lottery?
Yeah, something.
So, Taylor, would you advise young people who think they have what it takes to be a rock star to settle for nothing less, just make it or bust?
Not necessarily to be a rock star, but if you like playing music a lot, stick with that.
Play music, right.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know that I could speak for Dave and all of us. What we get to do is far beyond anything any of us ever possibly imagine. You dream, you know. You watch Zeppelin or you watch those bands when you're young, and you think, "Wow, wouldn't that be cool?" But you really kind of know that there's probably, I mean, you know, the odds are against you.
Yeah, certainly.
But,
yeah.
I mean, that's no reason not to love music and play music. You know?
See, one of the things I love about you guys is you'll say to us, "It really is as good as we thought it would be, and it really is cool." Rather than, it's a drag. Oh, it's too much work. Oh, it's a hassle."
Now we're rich. Really? We tour really comfortably. There's not much to complain about.
It's breakfast.
This G4 is the wrong color.
Yeah, right.
I'm not getting on it.
Breakfast with Foo Fighters at the Troubadour at KRQ FM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Before we take a break, by the way, I think we have somebody backstage who wants to come out with a birthday greeting for Dave Grohl
oh,
today,
really?
Who is celebrating number 39 today
hey!
On stage. Ladies and gentlemen, with the birthday cake, Dave, tell everybody who it is. He's hugging him.
He's putting on a birthday hat.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lemmy from the band Motorhead has just joined us with a birthday cake. Morning, Lemmy.
How you doing?
We are good.
You put a birthday hat on
you
Dave.
You haven't been to sleep yet, have you?
Yes.
Really?
Briefly.
You look well rested.
That's great, yeah.
Thanks.
That's a hell of a birthday hat.
Want to train?
Okay.
He's going to blow up the candles.
Here
we
go.
Now he's got to wait.
Happy birthday to you. Ten-year-old.
Happy birthday to you.
There you go.
All 10 candles.
All right. See that? Lung power.
I'm sorry we didn't wrap him, Dave, but
wow,
that's your gift right there.
You know, this might be the best birthday yet. I woke up, my wife got me a box of, and I got these.
Motorhead t-shirts.
A bunch of stuff.
Remember what I said about getting kind of nervous around my heroes?
Yeah. Is this one of them?
Yeah, that's one of them.
I'll see you in a bit.
Bye.
Thank you, Lemmy. You said your wife woke up, gave you what this morning?
She got me a box of Enneman's donuts.
Oh, nice.
And you know what? To some, that might seem like not a big deal.
But
it's
to you.
The little things. I could eat the whole box.
Well, happy birthday, and thanks to Lemmy for coming down here with the cake, too. We really appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. Foo Fighters will play on this stage when we return right after this in the world-famous K-Rock.
It's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7.
Carol QFM, HD1, Pasadena.
Los Angeles.
The world-famous
K-Rock. Now?
Now.
Live at the Troubadour, ladies and gentlemen, the Foo Fighters!
Stop!
trees, you learn to live again. It's times like these, kids will get again. It's times like these, you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again.
Foo Fighters, live on K-Rock from the Troubadour.
All my life I've been searching for something, something never comes. At least nothing, nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close, closer to the prize at the end of the road. All night long I dream of the day when it comes around and it's taken away. Leaves me with the feeling, no, I feel no most. Feel it come to life when I see your ghost. Wow! Such a delicate wrist, and if I give it a twist, something to hold when I lose my grip. Will I find something in there to give me just what I need? Another reason to bleed. One by one, hitting up my sleeve. One by one, hitting up my sleeve. Better let it go, no race. Love it, but I hate the taste. And if you open up wide, and if you let me inside, on and on, I got nothing to hide. On and on, I got nothing to hide.
From the Troubadour, we'll be right back.
Try something new for breakfast.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
World famous K-Rock.
All right, I can only say it a couple more times. We're live from the Fubador on Santa Monica Boulevard, West Hollywood. Breakfast with Foo Fighters is happening this morning on the world-famous K-Rock. We got a few more questions from the audience. Lightning is out there. But before we get to that, Dave, I wanted to ask you a follow-up on something you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
You talked about how you had the beautiful Hawaiian vacation. You wrote all sorts of songs. You seem like a prolific kind of guy. But you can only put out so many records. What do you save all those songs, or do you trash them? Are they going to see the light of day one day, or what do you think?
Well, usually when we go in to make a record, we have a lot of stuff left over. Because, you know, you might walk into the studio with 40 ideas and think, man, this is a triple record. They're all awesome. And this is going to change the course of rock history. And then you go in there, and 35 of them suck. And so, and then you keep writing. But well, there's a lot of leftovers. But, I mean, honestly, like, we'll make a record, and then we'll travel for, like, a year and a half, and in that time, we'll write, and then we come off the road, and there's not a lot of... We usually don't take big, long breaks. Like, there's some bands that go away for 2 or 3 years at a time.
Right.
And we might have a month or two between touring and starting the next record, but it's not a lot of time.
Slave driver, dude.
Iron Fist. You do crack the whip. Everybody do what I tell you now.
A lot of artists get frustrated with the slow pace of how you can release records, and more of them are just saying, hey, I wrote this song today. I'm going to put it up on my website because I want it out there. You know what I mean?
Well, nowadays, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
But we're lucky because, you know, the way we work, we have our own studio, and the people at Sony BMG are so cool to us. The RCA people are so totally cool that they just let us do whatever we want to do. And so if we say, hey, we're going to make a record, they say, okay. And then we make it, and then they come in and listen to it and go, ah, it sounds like a good
record. I could do that.
You do make it sound easy.
Interesting.
All right. Producer Lightning in the crowd here at the Troubadour with our another listener. What's the story? What's the person?
We've got Serena right here, and she's been on the air kind of sort of. Tell your story.
I called in a couple months ago to speak with you and Taylor when it was Stump the Foos. And,
Did you stump us?
No, I was on hold, had an anxiety attack when Psycho Mike came and said I was next. You were coming to the phone, and I hung up because I... Whoa.
She hung up. She couldn't take it.
Did you take your Zoloft off today? Are you cool? You got it together?
Yeah, a little
okay,
bit.
Good.
I'm trying.
Serena?
A lot of people watching right now.
Oh, come on. Don't put the pressure on her.
Come on.
Serena, did you have a question you've always wanted to ask the Foos?
I do. My absolute favorite all-time song that you sing is Everlong. I think it is a completely sexy song when you say breathe in so I can breathe out.
I stole that from Def Leppard, by the way.
I'm just curious as to if you wrote that for somebody. And
what was it
means,
you?
And yeah. And what it means to you.
I wrote it to myself.
That's lovely.
Because I've never met anyone like me. And I know I never will. And I'm deeply in love.
With?
Me.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
The end.
Dave, we have a... There's people in this room who walk down the aisle to that song. I mean, that's making an imprint on somebody's life right there when you're their wedding song.
That's a weird thing.
We had a winner that called us up that all of the music at their wedding was Foo Fighters. All of it.
Really?
Walk down the aisle.
Was that you? That was you?
Walk down the aisle. Every single song, Foo Fighter.
How bummed was your family?
She said, cool? She told us they were Mexican and confused, is what she said.
Wow. Well, that's
cool. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for the question. We appreciate it. Who's next, Light?
We've got Thor right here.
Thor yeah. Wow. What's look up, at, Thor?
Look at Thor.
Go along with the whole facial hair thing. I grew the food just for you, brother.
Thank Dude, are you an American Gladiators tonight? Because you should be.
That's me.
Okay, good.
That's like that look.
That's a Fu Manchu right there.
The Viking helmet and the boat. Sorry.
What's your question?
So, are you able to play your own song on Guitar Hero on expert mode?
Oh,
good question.
Throwing down.
No, he didn't.
No.
Step up.
What about you, Thor? That was my question. Thor 1973. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Garage Band.
No, well, I've tried...
The whole band together?
Well, you know, Guitar Hero, we had that at the studio when we were making the last record. And
how do you get anything done?
Well, it was Nate who played it mostly, our bass player, Nate. And he was awesome. He got really, really good at it. So that when it came time for him to do his bass lines, he was like...
A good rehearsal?
Play a note, man. No, that game's weird. Because you'd think that it would be like playing guitar. But in reality, it's absolutely nothing like playing guitar. And it's a problem because you're just looking at those little colored things coming down the deal and hitting the line. So then when you go to bed at night, it's just... It's one of those things where you're looking at that thing coming down for so long that you turn off the game and your head is just going. So it's a little weird.
It's a different set of skills, right? Between really playing. Yeah, that's
what I guess. I suck at guitar anyway, so I don't know what Guitar Hero would be.
Yeah, right. All right, another light.
We've got Brian from the LBC.
What's up, my ninja?
Hi.
LBC. After your Oscar-worthy performance in Pick of Destiny as Satan, do you have any more plans to act?
No. Because...
How do you follow up Satan?
I got to tell you, there's a part of me that I don't know. I don't really think so, no. And I never really wanted to. I sort of kind of wanted to, but only if I could be in, like, Lord of the Rings as an orc or whatever. And then I got the call from Tenacious D to be the devil. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. That's not too much of a stretch.
Hey, you were acting in the video for Long Road to Ruin. Come on.
Well, videos are kind
You're
of...
sobbing, a lot of emotion there.
Thespian, dude. I'm just another thespian.
I know.
I came to Hollywood to make it as an actor, and all I got was this crappy band.
Do you get a lot of crazy offers either to be in TV shows or do commercials or endorse stuff? I mean, are there a lot of things thrown at you that you got to turn down?
Sometimes there was a long time ago when there was either like a Japanese workout gear or cologne thing that they wanted me to be in. I was like, you're looking at the wrong dude. No, not really.
Okay. All right, one more before the break. Yes,
yeah, we've got Natalie from Lake Arrowhead.
Hi, happy birthday, Dave.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
My question is, if you could invite two people to dinner, living or dead, who would they be and why?
I think it'd probably be me and Lemmy and Little Richard having a couple cocktails. That'd be fun. I'd just sit there and shut up and watch the two of them go at it. That'd be awesome.
Thank you very much. All right, we need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to have some more music, correct?
I'd love to.
Breakfast with Foo Fighters, next on K-Rock.
Booyah!
It's breakfast time!
What?
Come and get your breakfast on! Now eat it!
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
Life of the Troubadour is the breakfast we've always wanted to do. Now we are doing it.
Hey, you tell us, Dave. You want to do the thing now, and then we'll do some more questions, or do you want to do some questions first and then do the thing?
Let's do
it. Because you're here with your beautiful daughter, Violet, is up on stage with you, which I appreciate.
That's not Violet.
It's so nice
That's
to meet
Khaki
her.
That's Khaki King. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Khaki King. All Everybody right. say hi, Khaki. Good morning. A friend of mine turned me on to Khaki's music maybe like a year and a half ago or something like that, and I was totally blown away. She's one of the most incredible guitar players I've ever seen in my life.
Khaki, how old are you? Can you get up on that microphone? How old are you?
Can you reach the microphone?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Kidding.
Yeah, I look a lot.
And how'd you get into playing guitar? How long have you been playing?
I've been playing for 23 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, you ought to be good.
Jeez.
I'm good at math, so you have to tell me what that means.
It's most of your life, my dear.
It's a lot.
What is your? Are you in a band also? Are you a solo recording artist?
I'm a solo recording.
Well, congratulations.
She was nominated for an Emmy.
No, Golden Globe.
A Golden Globe. That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. She did music for the Into the Wild movie too.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Music is great.
Beautiful. Great stuff.
Yeah. Booyah.
How did you? How did you guys cross paths?
Dave sent me these incredibly wonderful emails like, we've got to be in a band. We've got to, like, be bigger than Guns N' Roses. We're going to record one album in one night, and we're going to call ourselves the Star-Spangled Shredders or something. Like,
because she's also an incredible drummer.
Insane person.
Was he drunk, do you think, when he...
No. Yeah. No, me? What? You're crazy.
Just checking.
It sounds like you're grooming your own replacement is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the new singer of the Foo Fighters.
Right. All right. You guys are going to do the number that you did, not on this record, but on the last
song.
Record.
So then we were making this record, and there's this instrumental guitar thing that I'd written for these miners who were trapped in Australia, mm-hmm. in Tasmania, in Beaconsfield. And so she was in town, and I said, hey, why don't you come and jam with me on this thing? Thinking, like, this is a badass piece of music I wrote, and watch this. I played, like, three notes, and she just started going... So we went and sat down in the studio one night. We did it, like, three or four times.
And you got schooled.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we put it on the record. And we've only done it live once. Once. And wow. Jimmy Page was watching.
Yeah.
Wow.
I listened to that whole thing, and I kept waiting for the vocals to come in.
No vocals.
And I kept waiting.
Well, it's not a rink, little bit.
Now, I don't want to put the pressure on you. Jimmy Page was watching last time. Thor is watching this time.
I know, Thor.
Don't forget it.
All right.
This one's for you, pal. Where is he? He's gone.
Yeah, he left.
He did, didn't he? Okay.
Let's hear a little of that.
Or let's hear all of that.
Ready? Want to try it? Okay, this is called the Battle of the Beaconsfield Miners.
She's just showing off. That's just showing off is what that is. That's good times. Very special morning here at the Troubadour. It's Breakfast with Foo Fighters. We've got time for a few more audience questions. Lightning is in the audience.
Yeah.
Where are you? What's going
on? We've got Christian from Huntington Beach.
Hey, Dave. You don't suck on the guitar, by the way. I know that you do a lot of benefit concerts and you do some charity stuff. And I want to donate to a charity that's going to help kids in the local area. I was wondering if you had any suggestions of some real, you know, genuine charities that'll get it to the kids.
Kids in the local area.
Friends and helpers.
Friends and helpers? Off the top of my head, I'm not really sure. Friends and helpers.
That's my wife's charity, Dave.
Oh, there you go.
Didn't you sign the guitars for the
auction
and stuff? Remember that? Yeah.
Friends and helpers is one. Yeah, off the top of my head, things locally, I'm not sure. You know, honestly, the most important thing to me for kids in Los Angeles is just to make sure that there's music in schools, man. Because I guess a lot of schools these days are getting it taken away from them because they don't have the budget or they can't find, I don't know, the resources to make it happen. But, you know, as a kid, that's what kept me out of most of more trouble. But I think it's important for kids to learn how to learn about and play music when they're young because it gives them a way to express themselves that they otherwise might not have if they're in a screwy situation at home and they have nobody to talk to. Like, you can always turn to music when you're young. And even so now, like, it's the same thing. And I think that kids need the opportunity to be able to experience that.
Dave, were you a band geek?
No, I wasn't.
No.
I don't know how to read music. So,
really?
No. I played the trombone. I tried. Too stupid.
Bring the trombone out.
Yeah.
Taylor, how about you? Were you a band
geek? I worked at Ferrell's.
Did you play in junior high or anything?
Yeah, I played in junior high, and then I played my freshman year in high school, but I hated the marching band.
Right.
And then I got kicked out the second year because I wouldn't cut my hair.
Really? They said, you need to cut your hair or you're out. And you said, I'm out.
It was just a good excuse.
All right. You can't be a musician unless you have short hair.
That's right. That's a law.
Well, the only reason I wanted to do the marching band was so I could be in the jazz band. And then every time I got to the jazz band thing, you play too loud. You play too loud.
you can't play too loud. All right. Good question. Thank you very much. Who's next, lady?
We've got Bobby from Lake Arrowhead again.
Yeah, Bobby.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Bobby.
Now that you guys are all dads, can you see your kids?
That just sounded funny. You guys are all dads.
He was disgusted with you.
Yeah. Sorry, pal.
Now that you guys are all dads, can you see your kids being in a band together jamming when they're older?
Together? Maybe. I don't know. I'll tell you what, man. Taylor's kid, we call him Butterbean. Do you know who Butterbean is?
Of course, yeah.
Really?
Taylor's kid is going to be like...
I think he's going to be a boxer.
He's a giant.
He's huge. He's enormous. Yeah, he looks big and strong. So he'll be maybe a musician.
God, I hope not.
He's going to be like Olympic shot put.
Yeah. He'll beat the hell out of the drums.
Probably.
I suspect there'll be music in those homes growing up. Those kids will have the opportunity to express themselves musically, though.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine. Already. So. I mean, my daughter listens and loves good music. She doesn't crave Elmo and Barney and stuff like that. She wants to hear... What does she really... You know what she really likes? She really loves, more than anything, Cheap Tricks. If you want my love, you got it. She calls it the high note song because they go, woo! So, yeah.
Does she do that little dance that you were just doing?
Well, kind of, except it's more like this.
All right, one more lighting.
We've got Andrew from Highland who's prepared a little something special for you.
Holland?
Highland.
Oh.
Hi.
Oh, hey, wait. Let me interrupt. Is this the guy that wishes he was gay?
No. Yes. Maybe.
Yes? He wrote us an email.
Conflicted much?
Yeah.
He wrote us an email. He said he wishes he was gay, and he wrote you a haiku.
Because he loves you
really?
So much. Yeah. And he's afraid.
You a haiku.
He's afraid he loves you in the way a man loves a man, so it's making him very uncomfortable.
Okay. Do you want me to read that?
No, I can read it. It says...
How are your eyes, bro? Because that's huge.
It's for you.
Is this a test?
I didn't think so. I didn't know that.
It does look like it.
Okay.
The haiku goes, my love, Mr. Girl, if I were gay, which I'm not, you'd make my pants swool.
There you go.
Oh, how about that?
Thanks a lot.
That's beautiful. Do you guys get a lot of crazy fan mail?
Crazy fan mail?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't get to you?
He's insulated,
from my house. No, I don't think so. Well, you know, there's the website with all the people. They're like, I wish the set list was like this. The arrangement of that song is wrong. You know, and you read it and you're just like, eat it.
So Dave cares what his fans think. We've learned that.
Yeah. But yeah, fan mail's not the same as it used to be, you know. Fan mail used to be really fun because he'd open it up and there'd be like,
panties.
Hair.
Yeah.
And a voodoo doll and a bomb or whatever.
You miss those days?
Those are the days.
All right. Hey, listen, we got to take one more break. When we come back, the final performance from Foo Fighters on this stage with the full band in effect, live on stage at the Troubadour. Breakfast with Foo is right after this. It concludes on the Kevin and Bean.
I'd like you to meet Breakfast.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
The most important meal.
The world famous K-Rock.
All right, we are back at the Troubadour. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, before we hear the last song, we had Dave on the air, on the phone, and we asked him if he would do a breakfast. And he said yes, like everyone does, and then everyone ducks us. And we have to, like, track him down and track him down and track him down. He came in, and he brought it up. He's like, when are we doing the breakfast? And we said, fantastic, we don't care. Whenever.
We said, can we ruin your birthday? And he said, yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Oh, that was very cool of you.
I'd rather spend it with you guys than my family.
Yeah, we believe
that's
that.
That's a joke. That's not funny.
Yeah, we believe that. Hey, before we hear the last number, during the commercials there, the audience here at the Troubadour was hearing you do a little Tom Petty on the stage.
Oh, man.
Thanks to Taylor for kicking into that.
Tom Petty.
Do you guys do any covers out on the road when you do your full-length rock show?
Yeah, we do some.
Because I know you've recorded a few great ones over the years. But
we usually record them for B-sides, you know.
Right.
Because after you're done making a record, then people say, okay, we need 12 B-sides. You're like, we don't have any songs. So each of us picks a cover. And
who
we've
picked
done,
Darling Nikki? Who picked that one?
Me.
Who picked Baker Street?
Me.
Taylor,
do they ever
what
really
were some
pick?
Of yours, T? You did a
did you do the Pink
Joe
Floyd?
Walsh?
A couple Joe Walsh and the Pink Floyd song.
Chris, you pick. What did you pick? A Ramones? And Jawbreaker.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Nate, are you allowed to pick?
No, Nate.
Yeah, Nate got beat. He got beat out. What was his? It was like a Talking Heads or something like that?
None of us knew. Yeah,
the bass player doesn't get the love, I'll tell you, is what's happening here. All right, let's hear it for Foo Fighters. One more song live from the Troubadour.
I've got another confession to make. I'm your fool. Everyone's got the chains to break, holding you. Were you born to resist? Won't be abused. Will someone get in the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Will someone get in the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Gone on to someone new. I needed somewhere to hang my head without your news. You gave me something that I didn't have. Could have no news. I was too weak to be there, too strong to lose. Trust, you love, confess. Someone get in the bed.
Foo Fighters.
Well, you don't get that every day.
Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
Thanks to Foo Fighters. Thanks to RCA Records, our friends at the Troubadour, and, of course, Jack in the Box for the French Toast Strips. I mean, those were really the highlight of the whole day for me. That was amazing. Thanks, everybody, for coming down. Cat Corbett's next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock right after this.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got Kings of Leon on the way, also Sublime, and Miss Kathy Griffin is furiously pulling into the parking lot, and she'll be joining us here in just a couple minutes as soon as Charles, the security guard, tells us she's here. So stand by for that.
Okay.
Can we go through the complaint call to the Jimmy Dean people again?
Because
this fat dude from Texas, I don't know if you heard it earlier this morning.
Hey, I have a lot of respect for this guy. I'm the guy who writes strongly worded letters when they make changes in the products that I buy at the supermarket. You know right. that. I respect the fact that this guy took the time to call and give some consumer feedback to the Jimmy Dean Sausage Company.
So what they've done is, because of the economy or whatever, they've lowered the amount of sausage in the package from 16 ounces to 12 ounces. Mm-hmm. And that is not okay with this guy.
I don't mind paying you more money for your 16-ounce roll of sausage, but you don't have it anymore. You've got a 12-ounce roll, and you got three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece.
Now, this is an interesting angle, because you'd think he would say, you're ripping us off, or now we have to pay more money, or times are difficult. How do you go right into, we're really fat and need to eat a lot?
And you are denying us our sausage.
Why are you assuming these guys are really fat?
What are you talking
about? Lots of people are over 200 pounds that aren't fat.
Oh, come
lots
on.
Lots of people.
No, I mean, Bean brings up a good point.
Whole families.
They're big
three
dudes.
Boys. They're all over 200 pounds. And I'm sure they're all in fabulous shape.
Let's say they're all 6'5".
Listen to this guy. Yeah. You can hear the fat.
He needs a sausage.
And you've got three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece.
Now, see, he's not saying that they don't weigh over 400 pounds apiece as well. He's just saying over 200.
But his complaint is he can't buy a package of Jimmy Dean sausage and just use it for breakfast now. He runs out. Right? That's
right.
His problem, is there's not enough sausage in it anymore because they cut it back from 16 to 12 ounces.
And how does that 4 ounces, how does that feed three guys that are 200 pounds? How is that the big deal breaker?
Well, that's a good point.
A woman that's a little plump Scotch girl. And a daughter who's 13, and you're going to try to take a 12-ounce roll of sausage and a couple of dozen eggs and feed that, it ain't going to work.
Okay. Buy a couple of 12-ouncers.
Can you read my mind? Can you tell what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking, shut up and get a salad.
And I'm not going to purchase your product anymore or ever again. And as far as your 16-ounce and maple and sage, I don't eat that. I'm not from the North. I'm a Texas man.
So you have... You do have 16 ounces, but it's different flavors.
It's maple and sage, right? He wants no part of
basically,
that.
Basically, he's saying, hey, Jimmy Dean, this is my family.
Right.
And this is what we like.
Right.
Right.
Please make your product to my particular specifications.
What's wrong with him?
Or I'm not going to buy it anymore.
Little 12-ounce damn roll of sausage supposed to feed your brother and me.
Now, this is where he doesn't hang up yet, but now he's no longer talking to Jimmy Dean. Now he's talking to a family member in the house about Jimmy Dean.
And you, 600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point?
600 pounds of men, at least.
Yeah.
Bean. At least.
That's a big family.
By the way, I saw 600 pounds of men at the Troop last night. Very good.
And the two girls, and they put it in that roll of sausage. Son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some old consumer geekeroid. This up.
Save money.
Save money. Yeah, save money. Save money. I'm going to eat, damn it.
They are preventing him from eating.
I love that the whole family is gathered around the call just to make sure, hey, let's not leave anything out. Let's not forget any of our salient points for the Jimmy Dean Sausage Company.
What do you think, fat son? Oh, tell him about, what do you think, overweight woman? Tell him that I need to eat. And by the way, again, 4 ounces is what we're talking about. That doesn't seem like...
But I think what he's saying is when you split it up among the three or four people that are eating, it makes the difference between having enough sausage on everybody's
plate
and not having enough sausage on everybody's plate.
Right.
I'm with this guy. I'm standing by this guy, and I'm going to write a letter on his behalf.
I'd like to suggest eat less, you fat F.
And Bean, this is not a guy that buys one package, though, because if you listen to the tape, he said, is this package plus a dozen eggs supposed to be breakfast for
me?
So obviously, he's cooking up a heck of a breakfast every morning. When he's going to the store, he's at least buying two or three boxes, or else he'd have to go back every day. I don't see how 4 ounces makes that big of a difference. He's clearly buying numerous boxes.
He doesn't want to have to open up another box
Because it's too much work.
After opening the first, yes.
It expends a lot of energy.
And then wrap it up for the next day. It's too much work.
This is I love this guy. I really do. Like, hey, we're fat. Don't you think you should be feeding us more?
But my favorite part is that someone doesn't need to change their business protocol. Someone needs to get their ass kicked.
Their ass kicked.
That's right.
That's right.
He's gonna go down to Jimmy Dean and kick someone's ass.
Poor Jimmy Dean, by the way. He's like 85 at this point.
Oh, is it still a person?
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy Dean, the guy who runs the sausage company. Still, yeah.
Okay.
Still does the commercials. He doesn't need this kind of stress. He doesn't have to now be sleeping with one eye open because the Plump family is going to show up at his door and take him out.
Plump family from Texas are going to show up.
Right.
Wow. Come on. Eat good less times. Or buy more.
You think, right?
Problem solved.
Seems easy.
A-hole. Hey, everybody. You know how we have LaQuisha on our show and she likes to review the reality TV shows?
Sure.
Well, we've got her on the line right now and she's ready to review a Christmas classic. Hello, LaQuisha.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. Merry Christmas.
To you, too.
Happy Kwanzaa to you, LaQuisha.
Celebrating no Kwanzaa.
Oh, I thought that was
celebrating Christmas.
Okay.
All right. My bad. I'm sorry.
I was flipping around the TV because, as I want to do, you know, because I love watching the television.
You do.
And I came across that show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You know that little show?
Yeah, it's a classic. They show it every year.
Yeah, a little cartoon show.
Right.
So I'm watching it for the first time in a long time, and I said, "Damn, there's some things wrong with this show."
That's a perfect Christmas show. They show it every year. What could be wrong with it?
No, it isn't. I'll tell you something, all the little Who's down in Whoville, they are celebrating Christmas and getting ready and stuff, and the one person who doesn't want Christmas to come is the Grinch, right?
Right.
That's right.
Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not.
Mm-hmm. You know why the Grinch is living outside the city limits?
Yeah, but he doesn't like people.
No, because he's the only colored person in the whole neighborhood.
Oh, LaQuisha, what are you talking about?
All the little Who's are all pink and fuzzy and whatnot, and the Grinch, he's got some color. He's green, so he can't live with everybody else. They put him in the slums.
Oh, LaQuisha.
Oh, he's got to be the bad one because he's colored. That's why.
No one is saying that, LaQuisha. That's crazy.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Oh, you're missing the whole point.
I think you're missing the whole point. Mm-hmm. And then the Grinch don't like Christmas because of all the presents and whatnot that the Who's play with.
Right.
And they make a lot of noise and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
And they play noisy games like Zuzitha Kaze.
What the hell's that, Zuzitha Kaze?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what that
is. What the hell he talking about?
Well, it's based on the popular Dr. Seuss children's book, and he was kind of famous for just making up crazy words that sounded funny. That's all that's it.
Job to have for a grown man making up words? Just shut up, Dr. Seuss. Well, anyway, he goes and takes all the toys and whatnot from the Who's, right?
Right.
He breaks into their homes and steals their Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a secret subliminal racist message.
Oh, come on, LaQuisha.
Oh, the colored Who goes into people's homes and steal their gifts.
That is not what it's about at all. You're missing the whole point.
Well, it turns out, even though they have no toys to play with and no food and whatnot, the people of Whoville still happy about Christmas and stuff. And the Grinch, he changes his mind and learns the real meaning of Christmas.
That's right. That's right, LaQuisha. That's a beautiful message that the spirit of Christmas is that it's not about the presents you get. It's about the being together with your friends and family for the holiday.
Yeah, and this is what happens to him when he discovers that.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Oh, like that's a good thing?
His heart grew bigger.
I had a cousin who had an enlarged heart. My cousin, Kliniqua, and she had to go to hospital because her heart got enlarged.
No, but his heart was so tiny to begin with.
That's a lie to say your heart gets big, that's a good thing for Christmas, because she happened to her in the holidays,
LaQuisha,
and she missed out on all the holidays being in a hospital.
LaQuisha, who hurt you?
I'm just saying this show is not right for Christmas time. And then the Grinch, who is colored again, if I remind you, he learns a special lesson. They invite him to come and sit down and carve the rare Who beast or whatever they're cooking, and everybody has a good time. Mm-hmm. Like, he steals their stuff, and they're just going to welcome him on in. Oh, sit down. Have yourself a meal. Try that in my neighborhood. You get cut.
Well, no one wants that.
No, but it's the spirit of Christmas. They're saying, we understand what you're going through. You understand what we're going through. Let's all get together and hold hands and have a meal.
Yeah, I know. That's the lesson we're all supposed to
learn.
And here's the little lesson everyone gets told at the end of the show.
Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Welcome Christmas while we stand heart to heart and hand in hand.
Aw.
I gotta go. I got something in my eye.
Oh, see?
LaQuisha.
I gotta go now. I gotta get off the phone.
Merry Christmas, LaQuisha.
Oh, Merry.
Dedicate that to Katy Perry.
Yeah, oh!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
I miss Katy Perry so much already. remember how much fun it was? Remember how pretty she was and how good she smelled?
Yeah.
How much I loved her?
She's still in the next room. We're still watching her.
Oh, I miss her so much. All right, last week. Hey, folks, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Last week, I was on vacation, but I still have the internet, and I came across something that was pretty awesome. Conan O'Brien recorded a video celebrating the 5-year anniversary of YouTube. YouTube's been around 5 years already. And he selected his 5 favorite videos of the first 5 years of YouTube. And I knew all of them, except for one. There's one I had not seen before. And I don't know how I missed the Winnebago Man, but apparently it's from a couple of years ago. This may be the most awesome guy I've ever seen in my life. I want to live with this guy.
He's
so awesome.
He is my dad. He's a guy doing a commercial for a Winnebago, and he can't get the script right no matter what happens. He can't remember the lines. He gets super frustrated. He starts over and over and over again, and he curses a lot. It's me at the Grammys.
He may not have been the best choice to record a television commercial. Is that what he's doing? Is it a TV commercial,
I think so.
Do you think?
Maybe an infomercial. I don't know, for a Winnebago, a big motorhome.
Yeah.
But thank God for Conan O'Brien for turning me on to this video, because I must have watched it 20 times since I first saw it. And if you haven't seen it, we've got it up at kevinandbean.com. But you gotta check this out. I think we got some audio for what this dude sounds like.
Kevin, the Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I wonder what the f*** the real dialogue is. What the f*** is this thing? All of the windshield, for f*** sake. Oh, f***. What? What the f*** did I say? That didn't sound for f***. Did it? Know what the f- I'm saying? Oh, f- my favorite part. Oh, Tony, do me a favor, will you please? Don't slam the door. No more. Listen, I've got to give a clue here now. I don't want any more bullshit any time during the day.
Here's my favorite part, because he's the only one yelling.
Yeah.
This guy. Right. Right? And then he says,
from anyone, that includes me. Want anybody yelling? We get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the shit is going to hit the fan. And they fit the needs of a very diverse buyer segment. Why can't I remember? I wrote this stuff. Why can't I remember it? Man, why don't I say it right? What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
You know what else I love about this guy? And there are people to whom profanity isn't funny, so they may not find this funny. But he's not swearing to be funny. He's not swearing just for the sake of swearing. He's so incredibly frustrated that he wants to just punch a wall.
He hates
and
himself.
Pull his hair out. He hates himself so much. And you got to figure, he's filming a TV commercial. He's got, you know, people standing around, depending on him, waiting for him.
Yeah.
And it just, the worse he does, the worse it gets, and the harder it is for him to go on.
What is the goddamn line? I don't give a what the line is. I f***ed up the word rear. I can't even read the VO straight. What the was that? We got flies all over the place.
Now there's flies out. It's an outside shoot, so there's flies. Now he's angry at the flies.
Son of a bitch. Get out of here, you flies. There's a fly over the headlight, Tony. We got flies coming for us. Out of here, you flies. We got 3 flies. 5 flies. Get out of here, you goddamn jackass.
He's talking to a fly.
I gotta read it again because my mind is just a piece this morning. God, I can't make my mind work.
Oh, that's so me, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This is my father. I want a DNA test.
I'm blinded by that hot light. Goddamn son of a bitch. What do you mean? Well, I'm going to fall off the thing. Just keep running. Bullshit. I'm going to slate this. All right, I haven't got time to mark this mother. Here we go again. We can't hear anybody. Nobody can talk to anybody. Well, turn the thing off, you dumbass. Man, I'd like to kick your head in. Not even funny anymore. Son of a bitch! Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It goes on for like 5 minutes.
I love that he, obviously he's the weak link here. He's the problem. But he can't, I mean, he says that, he owns up to it. But then he's got to start screaming it. It's the lights or it's the writing or it's the flies. He's always got to blame something. And we've all been there where we recorded something and we suck. And it's funny the first time you screw it up and the second time, the third time, maybe the fourth time, it's still funny. Now you've got people standing around. You're at time 20.
Yeah.
And it's no longer entertaining that you're incompetent. And he is losing his mind at this point.
Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Oh, son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. What the hell's the line? Can't remember the goddamn line. The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that? I don't know. It's just all gone. I get so goddamn diuretic when I sit here. My mouth just never stops.
Ain't worth it. Not this. It ain't worth it.
The mini Winnie.
Did you hear him? It isn't worth it. It's not worth it.
Part of American tradition. And today, on the cutting edge of design and function in a Class C motorhome. You believe any of that?
Wow. He's the best.
Go to KevinBean.com and watch the whole thing unbeeped.
Day rape, I'd never get laid.
Well, they have taken a little bit of a break, but they are back. One of the biggest bands in the history of radio, at least as far as the Kevin and Bean listeners are concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sublime to the studio. How about that?
Hey, good morning.
Say hello to Bud and Eric. We haven't seen you guys in a while. Welcome back. And let's say hello to Rome for the first time. You guys are Sublime. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Great. Thanks for having us here.
The band is performing at the Smokeout on October the 24th, seems to me is tomorrow.
Yep.
And the doors are opening at noon at the San Manuel Amphitheater in San Bernardino. Slipknot is on the bill, Deftones, Cypress Hill, Sublime, Pennywise, Cottonmouth King, Bad Brains. I mean, my God, what a lineup that is. You know the questions that everyone listening around the world, streaming us at KevinB.com, is dying to know, which is, how did this happen? How did we get to this point in October of 2009, you guys?
Well, me and Eric were actually on a train, on different trains going in different directions at the same time. We backed into each other in the restroom. We were trying to find the right size of those paper cowboy hats that they have, but they all seem to be too big. I think they got them from Texas. I don't know.
Okay. All right. That was not the answer that I was expecting.
But, and I was a janitor for the bathroom.
Rome, let me ask you, how did you come to be the singer for Sublime?
Just by playing music with Eric and it being right. Everything kind of worked out, you know. We had a natural connection, and then we went up to see Bud and we started jamming, and you know, everything.
Yeah.
Right. Is it true what he said about the paper cowboy hats? Is that true
that
as well?
That is 110%
correct. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just checking.
All kidding aside, Eric called me up and he was like, said basically the same words he said when he introduced Brad to me. He was like, you got to hear this guy sing, man. He's got a platinum voice. He can play guitar like a mofo. And it was, I mean, almost identical word for word what he said when he introduced Brad to me when he introduced Rome. And Rome came up because I'm living up in Tahoe right now and have been for a while, but they came up, Eric and Rome came up, and we jammed, and it was like, you know, I closed my eyes, and it was like, wow, rewind, you know, 13 years.
Is it a little, not does it make you nervous, but, I mean, you're replacing somebody that everybody loves, and you've had a long history, and is it a little scary to add a new singer?
Well,
pressure?
Well, we're not replacing Brad.
Right.
Brad's irreplaceable. He's always going to be there in our hearts, in our music. It's kind of like Pink Floyd. When they put out A Dark Side of the Moon, Syd Barrett was their inspirational artist who they they helped to create previous albums with. He kind of went crazy and was unavailable, but you can hear Syd Barrett on that album. You know, he is definitely a driving force behind their music. And same with Bradley. Bradley lives in our hearts. There's not a day or a moment that goes by that we don't think about him. When we're playing the music, he's right there with us. You know, Rome is picking up where we're all picking up right now and carrying on so that we can continue playing this great music. Because, I mean, from what I hear on radio across the nation,
it's pretty rough.
It needs some.
Yeah. Give you some help.
Speaking of radio across the nation, how bizarre has it been for you, Bud, and Eric to have seen Sublime almost get bigger with every passing year? I mean, your band was popular 13 years ago. 10 years ago, it was even more popular. 5 years ago, it was even more popular. Those songs continue to grow. I mean, that cannot be something that you would have expected to happen.
All I can say is good music is good music.
But that wasn't shocking to you that it. I mean, I would imagine your expectations would be people love it, fantastic, and then it starts fading like everybody else,
right? Yeah. Like everybody else, right?
But see, nobody understood that when we started this thing, we were playing the music that we loved. It was pure. We weren't doing something. We weren't copying anybody else. We were doing something pure, and so we knew that this was a pure art form and that it would stand on its own merits. It's the other people that should be amazed, not us. So.
We thought we were on top of the world when we were playing backyard parties.
Yeah.
What are the plans for Sublime? Obviously, the show tomorrow, that's great. I mean, that's a huge – I know you've played some other gigs, but this is a huge kind of Southern California coming out party tomorrow. But what happens next? I mean, are you going to go back into the studio at some point, go on tour? What are you going to do?
Well, we're only promised one day at a time, so we're going to take it one day at a time. And I mean, we'd like to get into the studio and create some more music. We'd like to go out and tour and support that and bring our music to all four corners of the globe. It is still flat these days, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's still flat.
Yeah. Four corners still.
Rome, tell us a little bit about you, where you've been.
Where have I been?
What's your life been like? We don't know much about you.
Well, I'm 21 years old. There's a lot of speak on the internet saying that I'm like 20 or 19, but I'm 21 years old and I'm from Northern California.
And you just say that so you can make sure to get into all the gigs that you're going to book, right?
Yes, sir.
You have a good fake ID. That's correct. That's all you need.
Rome's from NorCal. I'm from NotCal.
NotCal. There you go. So all parts of Cal. But no, man, I'm a multi-instrumentalist and a singer as well. So, you know, this is my livelihood. It's a thing that, you know, drives me. So
what's it like for you to join such a massive deal in progress?
They're my favorite band.
So that's gotta
be my favorite band ever since I was a kid. I listened to rap music, and then my uncle showed me some Sublime music, and ever since then I started playing music. So I was like, okay.
Essentially, you're the lead singer of your favorite band.
I am the lead singer of my favorite band.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Rome really is a musician. He loves to play music. My wife and I have another band, Del Mar, that we've been touring around doing some surf punk and stuff. And Rome always makes it out to the shows. He plays, you know, he jams with us. He'll do a set of his own or whatever. You know,
whatever.
It's just a lot
play.
Of fun, yeah.
How young was he when you guys first met him? Is it like 12? Three?
Yeah. been cultivating him for a long time.
He's been incubating.
A bit of work in progress.
That's a lot of work.
Sublime is here, by the way, if you're just joining us. You heard that right. They're going to be playing The Smoke Out at the San Manuel Amphitheater in San Bernardino tomorrow with Slipknot, Deftones, Cypress Hill, Pennywise, Cottonmouth Kings, Bad Brains. You have a new website, too, called We Are Sublime, and I was poking around in it a little bit this morning, and I saw something so shocking that I think, Bud, maybe you posted about how you guys have not had access to your own MySpace page all this time.
Yeah, it's really sad, but you know,
but you're in the band.
Yeah.
Why aren't you? What's that all about? Is that a record company thing? Or
that's a problem too, because I mean, MySpace advertises that, you know, this is the spot where fans can be intimate and interact with their favorite artists.
Right.
Eric and I have been denied access from postings, from content, from answering questions, from participating in the MySpace since the onset, and it's really sad because the people that are doing this are people that who we once trusted and loved with our art. You know, we mm-hmm. you know, Eric and I are musicians. We're not business graduates, and so, you know, we hire professionals, or we thought we hired professionals,
right,
to help us through this, and evidently they've just been been doing a Burger King program, running it their way, and you know, it's just, I mean, if I was
so that's
a fan,
what the new website's about, right?
Yeah, the new website, wearesublime.com. If you want to talk to the band, you go there, and if you want to talk to somebody else, I mean, I don't know who you're going to be talking to over there, but it's not going to be me, Eric, or Rome, but you're more than welcome to go to that site. That's
just not you.
Yeah, it's just not us. So right. Just so that you know that you're not interacting with the band on the Sublime MySpace. So go to wearesublime.com, and it'll take you through an amazing journey through inner space.
Sounds like
Cyberlife.
All right. We heard you guys practicing a little bit in the next room. We're going to march you on down there, take a quick break, come back. And as I understand it, you're prepared at this hour of the day to play live music. Is that true?
This is true.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic.
All right, we'll do
next. A whole hour and a half of Rawhide.
Next on the Kevin and...
It is a red letter day here on the world famous K-Rock today, 106.7 KROQ. It's 8:20. Kevin, you're in a room with Sublime. Did you bring your cowbell? Are you going to be joining in here, or what are you going to be doing?
Two, check, check. No, I'm not going to do really anything except for watch them perform.
So. This is a very, very exciting. A day we have long awaited. Guys, what are you going to play first for us?
Date Rape. All right. Live music. Kevin and Bean Show. Sublime.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4. Had a drink about an hour ago, sitting in a corner by herself, in a bar in downtown hell. She heard a noise as she looked through the door, and saw a man she never seen before. Light skin, light blue eyes, a double chin and a plastic smile. Her heart raced as she walked through the door, and took an empty seat next to her at the bar. Her brand new car is parked right outside. How'd you like to go for a ride? And she said, wait a minute, I have to think. He said, that's fine, may I please buy you a drink? One drink turned into three or four, and then they got into his car. And he drove away someplace real far. Now, babe, the time has come. How'd you like to have a little fun? And she said, if we can only please be on our way, I would not run. That's when things got out of control. She didn't want to, he had his way. She said, let's go, he said, no way. Come, babe, it's your lucky day. Shut your mouth, you're gonna do it my way. Oh, baby, don't be afraid. If it wasn't for day rape, I'd never get laid. She kicked the rock through with his car, hitting his head, number started his car. Come on, rock people, you listen to me. Dick, rip, stop. The next day, she went to her drawer, looked up a local attorney at law, went to the phone to file a police report, and then she took the guy's ass to court. Well, the day she stood in front of the judge, she screamed, she lies, that little slut. The judge knew he was full of it, and he gave him 25 years. Now his heart is filled with cheers. One night in jail, it was getting late. He was butt raped by a large inmate, and he screamed, but the gods paid no attention to his cry. And that's when things got out of control. Moral love, date rape, score free, does not pay to be drunk and horny. That's the way it had to be. They locked him up and threw away the key. Well, I can't take pity on me.
takes it in the behind. That's the way it had to be. They locked him up and threw away the key. Well, I can't take pity on men of his kind, even though he now takes it in the behind. Day rape!
Awesome. Acoustic Sublime for you on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are going to be appearing along with Slipknot and Cypress Hill, Deftones, so much more. That's at the San Manuel Amphitheater tomorrow.
Hey, Bean, let me just butt in for 1 second.
Yes,
say, don't be,
please.
People in Southern California, don't be confused. That's the old Blockbuster Pavilion. It's been renamed San Manuel Amphitheater. So that's
a great tip.
So you know where you're going.
Yeah, that's a great tip. That's the Smokeout, of course. We have tickets for Sublime fans that are tuned in this morning for this very special appearance. You can call right now 1-800-520-1067. We're going to give away tickets to the first five callers if you want to go see the band tomorrow. And the website is wearesublime.com. I think we got time for another one.
Please.
If you guys got something in you.
Yeah.
Live Sublime.
What I got. Into the street, light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason, reason things went wrong. Life is too short, so love the one you got, cause you might get run over or you might get shot. Never stand a static, I just get it off my chest. Never had to battle with no bulletproof vest. Take a small example, a tip from me. Take it all your money, give it up. Charity, that's what I got, it's within my reach. And the subprime style still straight from Long Beach. Comes back to you, you're gonna get what you deserve. Try and test that, you're bound to get served. Love's what I got, don't start a riot. You feel it when the dance gets hot, hot. Loving, I said loving is what I got. I don't cry when my dog runs away. I don't get angry if it's all the same. The doom of Louis Dog's the only way to stay sane. Let the loving come back to me. Loving is what I got. And remember that loving is what I got. I said, remember that loving is what I got. I said, remember that loving is what I got. I got, I got.
Awesome.
Come on.
So good to see that live again.
I love starting the day with a little pot and a little date rape. That's how it ought to go on the Kevin and Bean Show. We Are Sublime is the website. You definitely ought to go see them tomorrow in concert through LiveNation.com. And guys, I guess just keep us posted on where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing. It's very exciting to have you back, and we can't wait to see what the next chapter is going to hold for y'all.
Right on, us too. Stay positive.
Fantastic. There you go. Sublime on the Kevin and Bean Show. ROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's an all-time holiday classic, Kevin's Bathroom Christmas Interviews, here on K-Rock.
How's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Jeremy?
Yeah.
That was good.
What's your name?
Is that really important?
It is if we're going to become friends. What are you doing for Christmas this year?
Are they going to spend it with family?
Mind if I come along?
Not enough room for that.
I'm making fudge over here. I could bring that. Yeah, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Good.
Don't you just love Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
You making a Yule log or eggnog?
What's that?
You making a Yule log or eggnog? One or two?
Oh, two.
How's that going for you? I'm making something over here that looks a lot like a fruitcake. Can you take a second and tell me the story of the baby Jesus?
How the animals and all the wise men.
Yeah. What's up with all that?
No.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Fine.
What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, don't you just love Christmas? Know what I mean? My belt buckle is made out of mistletoe.
Why don't you shut
up? Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Oh, yeah.
What's your name? Dude, what's your name?
Not now, man.
You like Christmas time like I do? Dude, you like Christmas time?
No, no.
You know what I call my penis? You know what my nickname is for my penis?
Excuse me?
You know what my nickname is for my penis? Jolly old Saint Dick.
I don't want to hear this, man.
Come on, it's Jolly Old Saint Dick.
All security. Anybody there?
No.
You know that song that we end every week's shows with called Don't Bogart Me that we play by the great Robert Bradley in the Blackwater Surprise? Well, he's here in our studio and he's going to be performing that live for us. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Robert and Matt from the Blackwater Surprise. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. It was a real surprise to us when we got an email kind of out of the blue last week from someone who works, I guess, with your label or management or something and said, hey, the guys are going to be in L.A. working on a new record. Mind if they stop by? And we said, hell yeah.
We're glad to, come on over because, that song is very dear to me because, you know what I mean, because back in the 90s when I was hanging out with Kid Rock and everything, me and him was hanging out like about 93 or 94. And I went over to his house and, you know, how white guys had the best weed, you know. And so,
I didn't know that.
I could smell it, you know, man. And I said, hey, man, don't boogie out your joint. He said, oh, man, you know, that's a song, man. Won't you record that? know what I mean? And it was a good thing, you know, and we had a good time with it, you know what I mean? And that was when me and him, you know, we got together and Matthew and everything. We worked on my first video together.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which I never seen yet. I haven't saw it yet. You know, I mean, I wish somebody would describe it to me. But no, we had a good time doing that. And that's how that song came to be. And then about, I think it was like 1998, they had some big hippolation or something.
Right.
Party up in New York at the Wetland. They said, hey, Robert, you do this song, you can come up and I test out the best marijuana in America.
There you go. Fantastic.
At the Wetlands, so, and I went up there, and then, I swear, and then that song been in my heart ever since.
I've never heard that story before, that it was Kid Rock who introduced you to that song. Now, the song has its roots going all the way back to the 60s, right? It has been around for decades.
Oh, yeah, but like I said, you know, I mean, you know, after I left for Alabama, you know, I quit listening to country music. I went to rock and R&B, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, when I got up there, I had never heard it before.
Right, sure.
And
sure.
He just told me, he said, yeah, man, that's a song. He said, you should record it. You know what I mean? And then 6 years later, that happened. You know what I mean?
And now, for folks who don't recognize the name, Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise, you guys have been around a long time, more than 10 years now. You got, what, 5 or 6 albums out there under your belt? And you guys are road dogs. You're out there all the time playing, right?
Yeah, I was out there for a long time. And what happened was, I decided to get married again, and I had some little kids, and I got tired of the road, and so I went to the state, and I got a job working for the state, and then what happened was I said, oh, man, I feel like I'm 25 because I had these little kids, and I was playing with them, and I got this job, and I had to lift it. I said, oh, I can do this. So I lifted up 3 cases of pot at one time.
Right.
Caught a hernia. Caught a hernia, had to have operation and everything. No. Then I said to myself, I said, the hell with this lifting pops. I'm going back to singing.
Robert's 57.
So I needed, I said, man, forget this job. I'm going back to singing. So I met Bruce Robert at Cherokee Studios and his production and a friend of mine. He helped on the Lackawanna Blues stuff. And
uh-huh, sure.
So therefore, you know, we got a record there with Quarter to Three going to be coming out soon. We just been out here, and then somebody told us that y'all was playing this song, and I said, what?
I got to tell you, we talked about this earlier this morning because I was asking Bean, how did we start playing this song at the end of our shows on Friday? And neither of us could even remember. I know it came from Bean. He was a fan, and he brought it in, and he wanted to play it. But
it's been years, though. Years. I mean, 7-8 years we've been playing it.
Seven, eight years, since the beginning and the end of every Friday show. And we get people, we go do remotes and stuff. People sing along with it. It's just crazy. We can't even remember how it began.
Well, but I just want to know which one of y'all was Bogart in the joint.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you this, Matt. Is it true, the story that I hear that Robert was playing on the street, like as a busker or something like that, and maybe you and some of the other guys in the band found out about him and kind of hooked up with him that way? What's the real story of how you guys got together with him?
Oh, man, we was hanging out in Detroit recording in the White Room Studios, and Robert just be out on the street singing and playing on his guitar, and he always found the best spots in Detroit where his voice would reverberate.
Right.
So no matter where you are, you could hear him. You know, he didn't need no microphone, nothing like that. And one day we were trying to record. We had to shut the window because he was singing so loud. Then finally we said, man, we got to go down and check this guy out. We got to do something with him.
We either got to involve him in this or move studios.
Either hire him or get him to shut up.
We never wanted him to shut up. No, he's a beautiful man, and I'm very happy and feel blessed to be with Rob all these years.
Well, that's very cool, and we play it a lot, but our audience not super familiar with you, and we get emails all the time. Who is that? Where did that song come from? What is it? And we always try to point him to you, Robert.
You know, I probably got need to go outside in the parking lot and have a little bit
absolutely
of that. And then to get in it, you know, we always say, beam me up, Mr. Scotty.
Robert Bradley, Blackwater Surprise, in the studio with us. It was, for folks who weren't listening a few minutes ago, it was a completely unexpected, out-of-the-blue treat. We got a call from somebody from his camp that said, hey, he's in town working on a new record. How about if he stops by and does your Friday song live? And that's what we're proud to present for you right now. Mr. Bradley, it's all yours, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. we're going to do this song that I hope I remember.
Go ahead.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one, just like the other one. This seems about to quit, and I need another hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down. Roll another one, just like the other one. Seems that I got the change. I like smoking reefer in the rain. Don't bogart that joint, my friend, and pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend, just pass it on down.